Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Shop, click, drive at robertsrobinson.com.
One of the things that really gets blurred in the silliness that we endure every day in our consumption of news events, world events, sporting events, whatever it may be, is the line between the silliness that's taking place and something very serious. They're all sort of treated equally out there. Whether you're flipping through social media, whether you're on your favorite website, whether you're listening to a podcast or watching network news, everything is sort of presented equally and it becomes all sort of mind-numbing. But this particular Monday was one of those days where the difference between silliness and seriousness was never more easy to differentiate. It was right there before us. Yet the silliness becomes treated with much greater magnitude than the seriousness. Case in point, Donald Trump goes into court and it is a complete circus. The judge looks like he belongs on a sitcom. He's making faces. He's mocking the camera. The entire thing is Letitia James out there saying she's going to get Donald Trump and they're going to break his company down and they want $250 million in fines and a civil suit. There's no jury. The judge gets to decide solely himself. He looks like a crackpot, like I said, in some sort of a Will Ferrell comedy or a sitcom. The entire thing is an absolute ruse that Trump somehow overestimated the value of his properties. Overestimated for what reason? Just because we know Trump's a bragger? What's the harm? Overestimated on bank forms to get loans. Loans that he repaid. And there's no bank bringing forth any suits against Trump. They made millions. There's no victim. There is no crime. The entire thing is a silly, ridiculous joke. And at the end of the very first day, 80% of it gets tossed out. 80% because of statute of limitations. But it doesn't matter. It's a complete show trial. It gets all the coverage. It's the lead on every liberal news outlet. It is the lead. Here's Trump in court, which is all they want. They just want to see him in court because there is a presumed guilt in this country now instead of presumed innocence. We know this. Show him in court. He looks guilty. This is good for Democrats. So they bring these silly things forth. And this is the silliest of all. This is absolutely sillier than anything else. It's hard to even say because they're all so silly. At the same time, we get a really serious thing happen on Monday. It's getting a little coverage here on Tuesday. It happened Monday evening. But it didn't become any kind of a big lead on Monday night or anything like that. It hasn't knocked Trump off the headlines. Trust me. He's going to be back in court today. Hunter Biden's going to be in court on Tuesday. Sam Bankman-Fried's going to be in court. All the silliness will ensue when the serious news will get avoided. And the serious news is this. Henry Cuellar is a Democrat member of the House of Representatives. He was carjacked in the Navy Yard, a nice area of Washington, D.C., on Monday at gunpoint by three described young black males dressed in all black with hats and masks on. At gunpoint, they stole his car. The car was later recovered. The stuff that was in it was taken. Whatever it is they do when they carjack, I don't know. He was not targeted. They did not believe that Cuellar was targeted. It's just another random carjacking. There have been 750 such carjackings in Washington, D.C. this year. Almost 80% of those are at gunpoint, which is scary as hell. They have seminars and they have training for the members of the House of Representatives and their staff on how to deal with rising crime in Washington, D.C. Now, they're not doing anything about rising crime. Rand Paul's staffer got stabbed, almost died. Angie Craig, another Democrat, was mugged in her elevator going down to the street at her apartment building to go to work. She's a member of the House of Representatives. She's a congresswoman. And she fended off somehow her assailant. This is all unbelievable. This is really serious stuff. And we don't spend any time on this. And there's just one. This is all I want to do. This is my dream. All I want to do is ask Democrat Henry Cuellar or Democrat Angie Craig one simple question, and I don't know why it hasn't been asked. And this puts completely, in a nutshell, what is wrong in America today? Why? It's not just politics. Why Taylor Swift is a bigger deal than the Chiefs-Jets game? It's all so baffling to me what we're totally consumed by in this country and our complete lack of seriousness. You know that is a theme for this podcast over the last 3 years. I don't like unserious people. And there's all kinds of times I'm silly and not serious in what I'm doing, whatever. But I'm talking about just as the way you live, to not be serious about the times that we live in and worry about our country and our safety and our security and the future for our kids and our grandchildren and really serious things. And people that dismiss those, I don't even understand it. A lot of people want to bury their head in the sand and just say, I just want to watch Taylor Swift sing and I don't care about the other stuff. Great, until you're at gunpoint and they're taking your car. Great, until your taxes are so high, you can't buy food for your kids. Great, until illegals take over your neighborhood and your property value goes plummeting down to half what it once was. Any of these things can happen to any of us. The question I want to ask, it's the easiest, simplest question in the world. Get them on camera. Get them on the podcast. Representative Cuellar, what was scarier for you? The carjacking or January 6th? That's it. Simple question. What was scarier? Three dudes with a gun in your face taking your car or January 6th? And what are you going to do about crime on the streets? Because they don't seem interested. In fact, Congress, as I mentioned, they're doing seminars and training for the House of Representatives members, senators, all their staff. It's a dangerous place we live. Here's places to avoid. Here's times to not do this. They got all kinds of gun laws in Washington, D.C. That makes it easy for criminals. Law-abiding citizens aren't packing. I want to ask Angie Craig, when that dude came on your elevator and was mugging you to take your stuff and shoving you around and you fended him off, was that scarier? Or was it scarier when the dude was sitting in Pelosi's office taking a selfie with his feet on her desk? What was more dangerous, as far your opinion? What put you in more danger as a member of House of Representatives? January 6th or being assaulted in Washington, D.C. on the street? And so this is an easy one to answer. I think we all know sitting in your car at gunpoint with three masked marauders coming after you would be more scary than evacuating the Capitol when some Trump people are walking in without guns. And if those people are getting 30 years for going to January 6th, what is this crime against Mr. Cuellar? 100+ years? Shouldn't this be a lifetime sentence? Wasn't he in more peril? He was in far more danger of getting hurt and dying. A gun could misfire. These could have been angry carjackers, and or Cuellar could have said something to them that upset them. They could have shot him. It happens. Plenty of these carjackings have ended with violence. Again, when you have 750 carjackings in one city and almost 80% of them are at gunpoint, people are going to get hurt. They're not all going to go as well as they did for Mr. Cuellar. He was ripped out of the car, tossed aside. The three dudes, and they're believed to be juveniles, most of these carjackings are minors, and they are told by people who are 18 or older, you go do this because the crimes for you and punishment for you is even less than it is for us. So if you're a 16-year-old with a driver's license, go on and do the carjackings. There's all kinds of goodies in these cars. There's sunglasses. Sometimes there's jewelry or watches. There's personal items. You take the car, you rip the items out, you leave it abandoned, and you move on. And you go to the next car. And this is what they do. And they know as minors, they're going to be in even less trouble. And it will never follow them. And their names won't be released. And they can't show their faces, even if they get arrested, which they won't. They won't, but they may catch these three dudes because it was a congressman. They may. This is very serious stuff. Again, Rand Paul's staffer was almost killed, stabbed multiple times earlier this year. Multiple people that work in Congress in Washington, D.C., and in the government, staffers, have been affected by violent crimes this year. This year, multiple. We're talking about, you know, multiple people. We don't go very often. We don't go more than 3 or 4 weeks. Somebody that works in the swamp there is getting mugged, hurt, stabbed, beaten up, carjacked. And D.C. is really no worse than a lot of our cities. It's just this is where those people are. And they're scared. They're really scared. You would think, living in D.C., they would see the real problems that we have in this country. We know they live in a bubble. We know it's a Democrat, liberal, progressive bubble. We know all those things. But if they're seeing it, and all this homeless problem and migrant problem, illegal alien problem that we have in New York, it really needs to be in D.C. We need to flood D.C. with all our problems. That is the only way to flip these liberals. We need every possible problem we have in America sent right there to the steps of Washington, D.C. They see some of it, but they don't have the illegal problem that New York has right now. I can't believe that New York, the biggest city in America, can't handle what's being sent to them. Thousands of miles. I can't even believe it. I mean, many, many more came over to Ellis Island and came through New York 100 years ago. And they can't handle this? Why can't they handle this? Because they feel like they have to house them all and take care of all of them and pay all of them. My ancestors didn't come over from Germany and ask for a place to stay. They came over from Germany and said, we're going to go find a place in this land, work, and build our new home. We got this. Now, many, many, many illegals are doing that. Many illegals are just kind of living here in the shadows and working and sending their money home. And if we change the laws or if Trump becomes president, they might be on the next train out of here to go back home. They don't really want to be here, except they can make money here, more money here than they make at home. And they like sending it home to their families. There are all kinds of good people doing that. All kinds. But some are here for the goodies. Some have heard that you get a cell phone at the border. Oh, you're going to hand me an iPhone. You're going to tag me and tell me I have to be in court in 3 years. Great. Where am I going? I'm going to a big city. You grew up one of these places, you're headed for New York, Chicago, LA. It's not where I'd go or recommend them to go, but I'm glad they're going there. I'm glad it's where they want to be. I think they should all be in New York, Philadelphia, DC. These are great places for them to go. The Northeast Corridor is the best place for them. There's not much room. It's overcrowded the way it is. And maybe people will wake up. But we have this rash of non-serious stories that get all the headlines. And the serious things, nobody pays attention to. I feel terrible for Mr. Cuellar. I don't want to be carjacked. I can't imagine how your life would flash before your eyes. It's literally in the hands of the three people. If they just decide, oh, what the hell, we don't like this person, let's go ahead and shoot this dude and take his car, they'd probably get away with that too. And so it must have been a terrifying moment for Henry Cuellar, no different than the Republicans who were practicing baseball one day, softball, and a crazy shooter came by and shot up the Republicans. Steve Scalise almost died. We see this stuff everywhere, and they don't do anything about it. There's really not much security or protection for these people. We give it at the highest level, and the really rich members of Congress, like Nancy Pelosi, have all kinds of security around them because she's got all kinds of money. Henry Cuellar was driving a Honda. I assume he does well. Maybe Honda's just a smart choice for him. He was driving a Honda. He didn't have a security team with him. He didn't have anything. Angie Craig was coming down the apartment of her elevator when she got mugged. She's kind of nobody in Congress. The pay isn't that great. It's good. It's not great. Many of these people aren't rich yet. Many of these people aren't there to get rich. They're there to serve and go back home. We forget about those people. But everybody knows Henry Cuellar. And this is a a really powerful moment for him to speak out and do an interview, and for somebody, because he's going to get interviewed, for somebody to ask the question, what was scarier for you, the carjacking or January 6th? And maybe we can draw some sort of a conclusion here and a finality to the silliness of what has happened in our country, the political silliness and the persecution of conservatives in this great land, which is clearly going on and taking place. Maybe somebody could finally look at something and say, Henry Cuellar could step back and say, you know what? I was scared to death. My life flashed before my eyes. I was thinking about my kids, my family, everybody that I loved. I was terrified. And I never felt that on January 6th. Never. We just needed to get out of there. We knew they weren't coming in with guns. Just a little honesty from one person on the left to set this thing straight. Once, one time. We have two people who have been victims of very serious crimes. And to be honest, I don't know what is scarier. Actually, somebody grabbing you and mugging you in an elevator where you think you can't get out like this woman had, but it doesn't sound like it was a gunpoint. I think I'd take my chances in an elevator or something. Just if somebody wants to beat me up and knock me out, I guess I could live with that. I don't want three guns stuck in my face. I don't know about you. I don't want that. Maybe we can get serious. KKHI is brought to you by Tickets for Less. I got a great email from, I won't give the name here because I didn't ask this gentleman. He says, Kevin, quick shout out to you for the discount code for Tickets for Less. My wife and I are celebrating our 20th wedding anniversary tonight with a nice dinner, a hotel on the plaza, and a concert at the Midland. Not a cheap night, so your code saved me enough money to not break the bank. I really appreciate it. P.S. My wife has been forced to listen to you since we were driving around at age 16. Listening to you on 810 with Between the Lines. So she's going to be thrilled to know that the guy I always listen to just saved us a few bucks. Well, I didn't. Tickets for Less did. But that's an awesome email. Thank you. Tickets for Less has a, well, this is a big week for Tickets for Less because Missouri if you're a Missouri fan and you're not thinking about going to this game Saturday, get off your duff and get to the game. Okay? All three of our college teams are playing well. It's time to go to a college football game. It is. And if you're a Missouri fan, this is way bigger than the K-State game. This is a conference game. This is the kind that gets you attention nationally. This will vault you up the polls. It's LSU, 11 o'clock, Saturday, if you want to go. The promo code is KKHI. Mizzou fans, jump on this. KU fans, they're playing at home. Go get them. K-State fans, you want to go to Stillwater and see the game Friday night? Go to Eskimo Joe's and spend the night? KKHI is your promo code for this big college weekend. Every seat holds a story at ticketsforless.com, 685-3322. Our friends at bstock.net have doorbusters going this week. The slasher sale for October is a Samsung TU7065-inch, $349. That's it, October only, $349 for a 65-inch Samsung TU7000. bstock.net is 14680 South Flaming Road. Okay. The Acer Chromebook, $79. It's a laptop, $79. Or if you purchase the TV, they'll sell it to you for $49. $49 laptops when you purchase a TV, $79 Chromebook on its own. This is really great. They got some unbelievable deals this week. And don't forget, you can get a warranty on any item from $5 to $10,000 at bstock.net. 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. And Cross Kitchens KC is Kansas City's remodeler. If you want to replace some countertops or some flooring, Tim Cross and his team would love to do that for you. If you want to completely remodel the floor of your house, he can do that too. CrossKitchensKC.com. It starts with a consultation. He comes to your home. You take an hour or two. You talk about your dreams, what you'd like to have. He's got a design center. They do 3D renderings before you start your project to let you know exactly what it's going to look like. Call Tim at 816-898-7047, crosskitchenskc.com. Okay, so the Trump thing is just bizarre. This particular Trump thing to me is bizarre. Because does it really matter if you brag that your house is worth more than it is? And who's closer? If Trump says, It's worth $1.8 billion. And a judge says it's worth $18 million. Who's closer? I guarantee you Trump's closer. You know, realtors value that property like $800 million. It's going to be worth more than that. It's 42 acres from the Atlantic Ocean to the Intercoastal Waterway. The parking lot is worth more than $18 million. It's a club. I don't think a lot of people know this. It's a residence, but it's the Mar-a-Lago Club. There's tennis courts, lawn tennis, different things there. It's a club. It is massive. And he owns all of it. And I don't know what he paid for it, but it's worth multiples of that now. And this is what's getting him in trouble, is saying his buildings and his properties are worth more than they are because on bank forms, he wrote down what they thought they were worth on a form that has a disclaimer. And the disclaimer basically says, this information is provided to the best of our knowledge, but the bank is responsible for vetting this and giving out a loan that will be paid back. That's all this was like loan applications. Every loan's been satisfied. The banks are happy. They made millions. They've all been paid. There's no victim here. There's nothing. So the whole thing's a joke, and it's just bizarre. And maybe it wasn't the best day to have your campaign put a release out, but the Trump campaign put a statement out, and it's a pretty serious statement. This does have some depth and seriousness to it. This is not from Trump. It's from a pair of his senior advisors who put a statement out on Monday, said the Republican National Committee needs to cancel the upcoming debate in Miami and all future Republican debates. They need to refocus their manpower and money preventing Democrats' efforts to steal the 2024 election. Anything less admits to grassroots voters, that's me, I consider myself a grassroots voter. Anything less admits to grassroots voter that their concerns are not taken seriously by the party, and the party is here to help Joe Biden. It's an excellent statement, and it's an excellent idea. The first two debates were stupid. They were stupid. It's making the party look bad. There's hate on the stage. These people are taking each other apart. It makes no sense. Look, there's two incumbents. There's no reason to be doing these debates at this point. And I watch them. I find them entertaining, but I don't think they're productive, and I don't think they're good. And I think for all the money that it costs and all the things that are going on, they would be better served in swing states making sure that we're not going to have mail-in ballots dropped off at 3 a.m. by the hundreds of thousands, that we are not going to bed with Trump having a 400,000 vote lead in Pennsylvania and wake up in the morning and he's lost. That is much better time spent than these debates. So I think he makes an excellent point there, and I don't think he got any run. It got some on social media, but I don't think he got any run. But I agree with that. I don't know what can be done and what can be stopped and, you know, all these other things, but it's real to me. We should be spending every nickel that anybody donates to the Republican National Committee over the next year preventing the Democrats from cheating. That's now what the game is, because we see everybody says, oh, this would be unprecedented. The guy that pulled the fire alarm, Jamal Bowman at Congress, we can't expel him from Congress. There's no expulsion. This is opening up a can of worms where everybody's going to get expelled and all these other problems. Really? Have you seen what they're doing to Trump? The Republicans can't start a fight and start expelling people from Congress? Look, I agree. Expulsion's not the answer for Jamal Bowman. I said it on yesterday's podcast. The answer here is to have the Capitol Police arrest him and process him and go through the exact same channels to the fullest extent of the law that the J6ers were subjected to. It's the same thing. He interrupted a proceeding of Congress on purpose. It's the same crime. Walking through there on January 6th and hanging out in the lobby is actually less crime than pulling the fire alarm when a vote is about to take place. But it is the same crime. We're stopping this vote, this proceeding, these things from happening on the floor by doing an action. It's the same crime. To heck with expelling him from Congress, let him stay. I don't care if he stays. The vote's not going to change even if you expel him. Arrest him. Process him. But Matt Gaetz and people like Matt Gaetz are too busy trying to have a recall vote on Kevin McCarthy to boot him out as Speaker of the House. I'm not the biggest McCarthy fan, but this is wasted time. This is counterproductive. They had a chance here this week to take a 30% decrease for the Department of Justice and things they're doing over there to cut their budget and a couple of other nice things they got in there. They had a chance to do that, and it wouldn't have passed through the Senate probably, but toss it over to Mitch McConnell and box him in a corner, which is where the real problem is. Mitch McConnell's a bigger problem than Kevin McCarthy. They had a chance to do that. Matt Gaetz and his little group, 21 of them, got in the way and decided they didn't like that. And so now they're going to try to get Kevin McCarthy out. Our side never knows the right thing to do. We don't. We have the right policies, and they're mostly in agreement for all this. We got 45 more days of government. It's going to last until about Thanksgiving. Then it's going to be a big story again. The next time we get a deal where we have some gains, you better take it. That's what we sent you there for. People voted for the Republicans to get some gains. For Republicans, for conservatives, for middle America, for working class people, we want the government to stop spending money. And they had a chance to cut a lot of money out last week, and they didn't do it. And that's not good enough for Matt Gaetz. He wants Steve Scalise in there. I'll give Gaetz a little bit of credit. He's not running around saying, I should be the guy. This is a personal fight between Matt Gaetz and Kevin McCarthy, and it's in the way. And I like most of Matt Gaetz's policies. He got to stand down here, folks. This cannot be personal. It cannot be about him. America's business must come first. We say that all the time with people on the left, that they're in it for themselves and not America. And while Matt Gaetz says a lot of the right things, he's clearly in this for Matt Gaetz. And it's a personal vendetta between he and Kevin McCarthy, and they need to sit down and act like grownups and figure it out. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of so much of this stuff and what's happening. But then again, maybe I'm part of the problem. I just spent a bunch of time talking about the silliness and not the real trouble. We'll move on to sports. There's always plenty of silliness in sports. It's brought to you by Amazing Garage Floors. Online at AmazingGarageFloors.net. I was texting my boy Hutch yesterday. He's getting ready. He's got some things going on. He's asking me some questions. He's got fantasy camp coming up. He's going to be going to Royals fantasy camp. This dude's a diehard sports fan, and they're really great at what they do. And don't forget, Amazing Garage Floors, if you'd like to start your own business, they basically train you and teach you how to do this on your own, regardless of where you live. It's a great opportunity, especially for young people, to not work for someone else, to work for yourself and build it into something great. If you know somebody that might like to start a company and do this, they should contact Amazing Garage Floors, 913-901-7139. And we got a couple of great months right here to seal your concrete. Before winter comes, this is the best time of year to put the sealant on your driveway and your sidewalk and your front porch. AmazingGarageFloors.net. Would love to do that for you. North Kansas City Dental is your new dentist. Dr. Bill Bush is taking appointments. He and his team would love to serve anyone from the listening audience at KKHI. I know you. Today's the day. Today's the day. Call NKC Dental. You've been putting this off because you don't like going to the dentist. You've been hearing about it. I'm telling you he's a cool dude. He'll tell you Chiefs stories. He knows all the players. He's the dentist to all the players. Ask him about your favorite player. He'll be like, oh, yeah, he's a cool dude. He likes motorcycles or this or that. It's awesome. It's a great dental experience. It's way better and more fun than where you're going, I promise. Two locations, one in Westwood, one north of the river, 816-471-2911, nkcdental.com. And Joslyn's Jewelry at 95th and Antioch in Overland Park is the jewelry you'll recommend to your friends and family. This is old school, but it's time to start thinking. There's a lot of anniversaries in the fall, including mine. My son's getting married in the fall. This is a big time of year for anniversaries. September, October, November, a lot of weddings through the days. We just read the email of the guy who had his 20th last week. Joslyn's is the place to go to get something shiny for an anniversary. And they're non-commissioned sales reps, and they've all been there a million years. And Dave Carpenter is the general manager, and he's there every day, and he has been there for probably 30 years. It's unbelievable. And Cameron is the son-in-law, and he's going to be taking the thing over someday, and he's just a great young guy. They're cool people. They're really nice. They'll clean your jewelry while you're there. They fix jewelry for a really low price. They're very, very fair and honest. Everybody agrees with me. Everybody that goes in there, sends me an email, says the same thing. This is what happens. This is a throwback to a better time. Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch. The jewelry you'll recommend to your friends and family. All right. On to sports. And we didn't get this in Kansas City after the game the other night. After the Chiefs beat the Jets, we didn't get the NBC postgame show. Because Channel 41 always comes on and does their postgame and whatever. So we didn't see it. It was probably available on Peacock, maybe NBC Sports Channel or something. I don't know. But I just saw this late Monday, so I didn't even know about this. They had Chris Jones on live, and you know the show they have. They have the former Cowboys coach there, and they have Rodney Harrison on. And, you know, they're muckety-mucks. This is their studio show, is on the field at the end of the game. And Chris Jones comes over, and he's their guest. And he's asked about Zach Wilson and how Zach Wilson had a good night against the Chiefs defense. And Chris Jones is like, man, that boy played. Like, he's got great talent. He played. He balled tonight. And Rodney Harrison's like, yeah, tonight, but he's garbage. Rodney Harrison used the term garbage. Zach Wilson is garbage. Chris Jones is like, man, that guy's a player. He's got all the talent in the world. I don't know what you're talking about. And Chris Collinsworth had just spent the entire evening saying, look at all the talent Zach Wilson has. It just hasn't been put together. Did you watch the Giants on Monday Night Football? Would you ever rather have Zach Wilson or Daniel Jones? Because I've made up my mind. I watched them on back-to-back nights in the same stadium, and there's no comparison between the two players. Did Zach Wilson fumble and lose the game for his team? Well, that's what they think. Although most Jets fans think it was a call by the officials, which is a joke. We'll get to that in a moment. They, you know, Zach Wilson fumbled a football, but so did Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes could have lost the game for his team with a fumble, but he recovered his fumble. There's a lot of luck to recovering fumbles. We all know that in football. So Chris Jones is saying the right things. He's saying, look, man, I don't think you know, Rodney. That was a ball game out there tonight, and we knew it would be. Like, they got a great receiver. And I think what Chris Jones was trying to say is we knew we weren't scoring 40 tonight. The fact that Chiefs got those 17 early was just huge because they were not going to light up the scoreboard against the Jets. That defense is awesome. And that was a rough night for the Chiefs offense, and in the end, it's good for them. We discussed enough of that on Monday. But anyway, this video is now viral, and Rodney Harrison called Zach Wilson garbage. Micah Parsons of the Cowboys is regarded as the best defensive player in the league. He has a podcast every Monday, and he spoke out on his podcast now Monday, Micah Parsons, saying, this is just not right, Rodney Harrison. Isn't Rodney Harrison the guy that launched himself at Trent Green's knee and wrecked Trent Green's knee? Wasn't that Rodney Harrison that did that? Then they changed the rule and said you can't do the cheap shot that Rodney Harrison came up with? I think that's right. I'll have to go back and look. I think he was the guy. Micah Parsons went on his podcast and said, this is outrageous. Rodney Harrison, you're a fool. You're an absolute fool. And Zach Wilson is not garbage. He looks like he's 12, by the way, Zach Wilson. Did you notice that? You want to talk about a young quarterback? Have you seen a young quarterback in the NFL look younger than him? Now, he's been there a couple of years, and he still looks like a baby. I wouldn't give up on Zach Wilson. If that was my team, I wouldn't give up on him. I would hope that Aaron Rodgers is coming back maybe one more year, keep bringing the kid along. He threw some passes. He threw some passes that you don't get lucky throwing on Sunday night. You don't. You've got something. We could see him. He threw some passes that were not lucky, if we're being totally honest. But there's a lot of controversy out there about this viral video. But Sunday Night Football was the highest watched thing in America since the Super Bowl in February. 27 million people tuned in to see Traylor. That's Travis and Taylor. It's the largest NBC audience this year, and it doesn't surprise anyone. The biggest demographic group jump in the ratings was young women. The NFL, of course, is freaking out about the ball game because Robert Saleh, the coach of the Jets, made such a big deal about the holding call that led to the Chiefs icing the clock and winning the game. Saleh referred to the holding call as unfortunate and bizarre on a night where he was given a free 2 points on a safety from a bad call against the Chiefs, and a free 15-yard horse collar where it was the jersey grabbed in front of the player's chin. I've never heard of anything. The Jets have way bigger fundamental problems right now than their quarterback play if this is what they believe. Now the Jets fans believe there's a conspiracy for the NFL in favor of the Chiefs because the NFL official X account tweeted out on Monday, the Chiefs are now 2-0 with Swifties as their fans. And it just set Jets fans on fire that there's a conspiracy going on, that the NFL is now cheating for the Chiefs. Taylor Swift is here. We're going to call holding. The Chiefs are going to win, and we're going to tweet that they're 2-0 with Swifties. That's crazy Jet fan, who apparently doesn't remember that they got 2 free points and the horse collar call. They did. All right, Chase Claypool is a formerly borderline star talent with the Pittsburgh Steelers at wide receiver, who was traded to the Chicago Bears last year for a second-round choice. That's a big trade. He has been kicked out of the Bears facility. He's not been cut or released. He'd been kicked out. They've told him to stay home. We don't want you around here. He was inactive for their game on Sunday, and now they've told him to stay away from the facility. He is a malcontent in Chicago. There can be no denying this. He's also very talented. And in the right situation, with the right teammates around him kicking his ass, he might shut his mouth and play. Does that sound like something for the Chiefs? Because he can be had for a song right now from the Chicago Bears. They're done with him. Chiefs could get him cheap. Maybe a 6th-round draft choice, 7th-round draft choice. Something like that. And this is pretty easy. This is a phone. Well, first of all, it's Andy Reid's connections in the league. He'll know whether Chase Claypool will come to Kansas City and fly straight. And it's a call to Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh. If I have the right structure, we have the right structure in place here. He's going to listen to Mahomes. He's going to listen to me. He's going to listen. Travis Kelce will kick his ass too. All right? We get him in here and tell him to shut his mouth. Will he shut his mouth and play hard? Ultimately, it's not so much that he's maybe a big mouth or a malcontent like in the locker room. It's that he doesn't try hard enough. The effort isn't there. I could see where that would be a problem for a player in Chicago and not Kansas City. I'm not going to emphatically say the Chiefs should go get Chase Claypool. But if they do, I bet it works. If they do this, I bet it works. And the reason why is they'll know more than I know right now to pass along to you. It looks to me like this is an effort problem because he's on a loser. He's in a really bad situation, and it's really bummed him out, and he might be trying to force a trade. And who would trade for him? Well, somebody that would be a playoff contender. That's who. Get the hell out of Chicago. Who would want to be playing there? Bad weather's coming, too. There's a lot of reasons to get out of Chicago. Bottom line is, if the Chiefs acquire Chase Claypool at wide receiver from the Bears, the crap he's done there will not fly here. And if he does it, they'll cut him. They'll just say goodbye. The Chiefs won't mess around with him. That just won't fly here. Here's something that didn't fly with me. Bill Self commented on Arterio Morris on Monday. They're getting ready for late night at the Fog. Because, you know, it's October, basketball starting. Bill Self says he can't comment about releasing Arterio Morris, and they put out a statement where they said they obviously properly vetted him. I'd be like, really? You're putting out a statement that you obviously properly vetted the guy and then this occurred? He is accused of raping an 18-year-old Missouri woman in McCarthy Hall where the basketball players live. They also said in the statement at the University of Kansas, quote, when we learned of allegations, he was suspended. Okay, that's not true. That's just not true. You're telling me that an incident was reported to the campus police of a rape inside McCarthy Hall. And built, this is built, that building is built for the basketball players. That's it. It's just there for the studs. It's their Mar-a-Lago. You're telling me that the campus police had an incident report of a rape, an alleged rape occurred inside that building, and Bill Self didn't know about it until the Kansas City Star told him? I don't care how diehard a fan you are and how much you love Bill Self. You can't believe that. That's disingenuous. And it's twisting words. When we learned of allegations, he was suspended. Well, no. When the public learned of allegations, he was suspended. These are two different things, and Bill Self's been doing this forever. And it's gross. It is. It's just a complete lack of integrity is what it is. It says, I don't care. This guy can play. Some people thought he could be the top one, two, or three guards in America at Kansas. I mean, Artario Morris is a stud, an absolute stud. And Bill Self and Kansas, it would appear, weren't going to tell anybody that this happened. The Star got a tip, got a Freedom of Information Act. Through that, they got the information from the campus police, and then they ran the story. And Bill Self, we're to believe that Bill Self found out that way. There's a lot of things that you know. Bill Self is an unbelievable coach, X's and O's, the whole thing. But my God, he'll do anything to get players. Anything. And if you're a Kansas fan, you love that. But at some point, a little integrity goes a long way. Just a little bit. Like, oh, we have this guy that was previously in trouble for assaulting a woman. And now we have this allegation of what happened to McCarthy Hall. And I got teammates who say, yeah, this happened, and you're going to just hope that nobody finds out? That's the game plan? What the hell was he thinking? I'm sorry. This was botched. This was botched bad, and all the heat that Bill Self's getting in social media and Kansas fans are getting, you deserve every bit of it. In this case, every single ounce of it, you deserve it. I'm sorry. You just do. You just do. He's such a great coach. I don't understand the man sometimes. It must be the same thing we see with like Obama and the Democrats, and they get in power and they're invincible and I'll never get caught and I'll do whatever I want. It has to be that. It just has to be that. I'm the king and nobody will tell me what to do. I'll do whatever the hell I want. I'm above it all. That's what it has to be with Bill Self. That's the only thing it can be. There's no explaining this action. First of all, bringing him here, not good. But then this? The cover-up's always worse than the crime, right? Well, that's, to me, what this looks like. 3 weeks later, after the report of the rape, the Kansas City Star finds out, and that's when you suspend your player, and you claim you didn't know for 3 weeks? Come on. Bill Self knows everything that happens in McCarthy Hall. Everything. There's video of every girl that comes and goes. There's security all over the building. They know everything that happens in there. They know who wins every pool game, every video game contest. They know everything that happens in McCarthy Hall, Bill Self knows about. No chance. No how, no way. Tim Brando is a play-by-play sportscaster. He's been with CBS and other networks. I think he's on Fox now a little bit too. He had a really great take on the phenomenon that is Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffaloes. And you got to be careful because it sounds like he's being mean to Colorado, but he's not. He's being mean to the media coverage of the Colorado Buffaloes. And here's what Brando said on a podcast. Those that want to make this and have been appealing to the lowest common denominator in media are just making it about race. They're completely missing the point. 75% of the players that are in college football are black. The fact that there are black coaches, black head coaches, that was a battle conversation with the Black Head Coaches Association years ago, which I'm happy to say myself and Spencer Tillman were at the forefront of, and we've been talking about it for years when we were at CBS. But there's black coaches everywhere now. Now Deion's doing this, and to say that Colorado is certainly Black America's team, well, that was on four or five different websites that you would figure it might be on, politically slanted to the left, But then you saw a few sports sites, legitimate websites, and I think that's appealing to the lowest common denominator. What Brando is saying is, this is Black America's team. Look, there's a Black head coach in college, is lazy. And he's right. Lowest common denominator very often is lazy. Now, you also do it for clicks. Deion gets clicks. Brando said that making Sanders' immediate success at Colorado about race is negating the broader story. Quote, to make this about race, in my opinion, is glossing over an amazing historic run that Deion's having. Regardless of the outcome of the games against Oregon and USC, he's already won. I mean, he has. They're still the most talked about team in America. And he goes on to talk about the personal responsibility, integrity, the things that he's teaching his young players, the accountability, the players that he booted off, all this stuff. And he makes excellent points. To just sit there and say, oh, this is a Black coach, this is a great story, this is Black America's team, and hey, looky here, Black coaches can win or whatever, is lazy. It's terribly lazy. Way to go, Tim Brando. That was going out over your skis, and we appreciate that here at KKHI. Major League Baseball playoffs are starting. The Braves and Dodgers have a bye in the first round in the National League. The Orioles and the Astros have byes in the American League. The wild card, remember the Royals had the big wild card win over the A's 2014? The Royals was a one-game wild card. That's gone. There's now a three-game series. I'm just catching you up because, you know, it's been a couple of years, whatever. Toronto and Minnesota are going to play best out of three. Texas and Tampa are playing best out of three in the American League. The National League, Arizona, Milwaukee, and Miami against Philly. I got my fingers crossed that Arizona wins. Because there's a chance that they could still be alive when Spence is getting married out there in a couple weeks. I may go to a baseball playoff game. That'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it? It depends on the college football schedule, but it would be kind of fun. It's a big stadium, holds a lot of people. You'd probably get in. I don't think they have Diamondback fever out there. I could be wrong. So I'm rooting for the Diamondbacks here. I guess I'll go ahead and root for Minnesota. They weren't very good this year. They played in a horrible division, the Royals division. And they won it, so why not? Why not advance? The playoffs begin today. Check listings for where to watch. They're on a bunch of different channels. Our final is brought to you by Amini's at 105th and Metcalf. This is Amini's. Outdoor furniture on sale right now. You got it in stock for this fall. Ask for my buddy R. Ash Amini or any one of his family members there. It's a great family-run business. They've got awesome machines, pinball, golden tee, bar stools, area rugs, all kinds of different furniture. If you like being comfortable and entertaining at your home, Amini's can help you do that. 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park, online at aminis.com. Fry Orthodontics, now with a location in Lawrence. There's one near you, 14 locations in the metro area where you can get your smile for life. Invisalign and braces are the same price. Your first appointment is always complimentary. They'll take a look at what you got. Maybe it's just a couple of teeth that are crooked. Need a little help? Now's the time. Get it done. Fry Orthodontics is literally changing the way orthodontics works. They're changing the experience, the treatment, everything they do. Dr. Jeremy and I have had long discussions about his business model and what is important to him. What is important to him is to reinvent the wheel. Make this better for everyone that walks through our doors. And they're doing that every day at Fry Orthodontics. Online at fryorthodontics.com. And the Finch Knife Company, featuring the new Stinger series of Finch pocket knives, online at finchknifeco.com. You can see most Finch pocket knives at Shields in Overland Park, the Bullet Hole in Mission, Teague Tractor in Belton. They're all available on their website, finchknifeco.com, where you're guaranteed the lowest price of every single knife that is born right here in Kansas City. They design them right here. They have about 6 to 8 new designs every single year. The newest is the Stinger series. Gorgeous pocket knife. You're going to want to check this out and keep life from getting dull. Online at finchknifeco.com. Our final, you know, we like the final here. And, you know, we like the Patrons Post as well. I did the Patrons Post Monday night while watching Monday Night Football. And there wasn't a whole lot of sports in it. And there wasn't a whole lot of politics in it. And I've already received more emails about my Patron Post on Monday night than almost any other post I've had. There was a couple very serious ones I got a lot of response to. This one was totally frivolous. It was about Taylor Swift and rock stars and their demands. Like, all she wants is Starbucks before a show. But some, you know, big rock stars asked for all kinds of extravagant things. And we did a listing of things that had been reported with certain artists. So people gobbled it up. They loved it. They're like, oh, that's just good stuff. It got you away from your troubles. So I need to do that more often with the patron post. But, you know, we do fun things. So I like to do fun things with the final when I can. Either feel good, something different. It's why we call the podcast Sports, Politics, and Life. So this is life. If you're lucky like I am, you're regular, and you have a bowel movement every morning. It's awesome. It's just like clockwork for me. I'm lucky that way. I hear people talk about how they struggle, or they go a couple of days, and then they don't feel good, and they got to take this, and they have to take probiotics, and they're doing this and that. I'm like, yeah, not Kev. So we've had this discussion at our house. Do you fold the paper, or do you wad it up? I'm a folder, and I like to fold it neatly. It just seems safer to fold it. No gaps in your coverage where it's needed, right? I don't know how many people are waters and how many are folders. I think Jessica's a water. This is why we come up with it. I don't know. She just grabs that roll and goes, and just wads it up in her hand. I don't know how many people do that. I guess a lot. I don't know. I'm a folder. The problem with being a folder is I like to fold it neatly. When I fold it neatly, I want it to tear off the roll neatly. And I hate it on that last pull when it leaves that little triangle piece hanging there. And I always pull that little piece off and I drop it down in the trash can because I want the roll to look proper when I'm done. Now, that's weird. You may be laughing that I'm a goofball. You may be right. I may be crazy, but I just may be the lunatic you're looking for, because look what happened. Charmin, after 5 years of research and development, has introduced smooth tear perforated edge toilet paper for people that like it neat. Now, the perforated edge is it looks like a wavy Lay's chip at the end. Of course that will tear off easier, but now the edge of your roll, when it's just sitting there, maybe guys, you're doing number one and you look over and you see the toilet paper roll, it has a perforated edge, not a straight edge. Can we live with that or not? And what is it like when you fold those perforated edges? I don't know, but this is why we added life to the headline of this podcast, because we'll talk about anything. And I hope I did this in a professional manner, not too disgusting. If you think I'm weird, I can live with that. I feel okay with who I am, so I'm all right with that. I'm going to promise you right now, look, we're Costco toilet paper people. It's just cheaper. It makes sense. It's a million rolls all at once, and it's good toilet paper. And I had a plumber friend of mine many years ago tell me, get the toilet paper at Costco and you'll never have trouble with anything getting clogged in your line. That the fancier toilet paper doesn't dissolve well enough, and people have plumbing problems because of it. And so we switched to the Costco paper. And so we've used that. The second I see the Charmin Smooth Tear, I'm going to buy a package. And I will report back here during a final segment at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Boy, do I today.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.